You're listening to GRayRecords.com, your place for music plus more. You enjoy.
Sketch the stars in melodies with keys and strings, they bend the breeze, they carve the silence, make it sing. Creators of the everything, their hands,
the tools,
their hearts,
the flame,
each note,
a spark,
no two the same. Lift it high, let it soar.
A rhythm, a story, a spark, a muse, all to the makers, our hearts we choose.
Through minor tears and major dreams, they stitch the night with sonic scenes. In every chord, a tale unfolds. In every beat, a world they hold.
With afro beats and soulful sway, they paint the dusk, they shape the day. From whispers low to shouts of joy, they build a world we all enjoy.
Lift it high, lift it high, let it soar.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to really get into the weeds on topics that matter. And today, it's music. I mean, it's everywhere, isn't it? The soundtrack to basically everything we do. As one of our sources puts it, it's like oxygen for our lives. Essential. But here's the thing, it's so often overlooked, kind of taken for granted. And for the artists, the creators, well, it's become a real crisis.
Yeah, it absolutely has. So today, we're diving into, well, the pretty dire straits the music industry finds itself in, especially for creators. But we're not just gonna sit here and complain. We're looking at some pretty bold, actionable plans, ideas that could genuinely reshape things. You know, how artists get paid, how we actually value music, and importantly, how we as fans engage with it all.
Right, and we've got some really solid sources guiding this deep dive. We're drawing from a really comprehensive 10-point plan from Damien Keyes on fixing the industry, plus practical stuff for indie artists like monetization strategies they can use now. And we've got reports digging into the actual streaming royalty payouts for 2025, the real numbers.
Yeah, those numbers can be pretty shocking.
And we'll also look at this idea of a paid-per-use streaming model. So lots to unpack. Okay, so let's dive right into the core problem. Because, honestly, the math just isn't mathing, as they say.
Yeah.
Think about this. Spotify, back in 2015, had maybe 100 million monthly active users.
Right, around that number.
Fast forward to 2025, it's nearly 700 million. 700 million, that's huge growth.
It's staggering growth, yeah. But here's the kicker, and it's really alarming, that massive audience increase. It hasn't meant artists get paid more. In fact, it's the opposite. The payout per stream has just plummeted. Like you said, 2015, maybe half a cent per stream.
Yeah, 0.5 cents.
And now, 2025, it's down to roughly 0.3 cents, nearly cut in half.
Wow.
And that disconnect, that's really the heart of the problem we're seeing.
That is a massive drop, especially when you think back. I mean, streaming platforms like Spotify, they were kind of pitched as the saviors, weren't they? Rescuing us from the whole Napster piracy chaos.
Exactly. That was the narrative.
They promised, you know, cheaper ways to make music, easier distribution, building your own audience directly, getting rid of the old label gatekeepers.
Precisely. The whole promise was democratization. Artists could finally connect directly with fans, control their careers more. But, well, over time, that control just sort of slipped away. The major labels, they have the market power, right? So they renegotiated these big licensing deals. And those deals, they heavily favor the, you know, the top 1%, leaving independent artists, the very ones who often built their followings on these platforms, with basically, well, scraps.
So the system that promised to open things up actually ended up concentrating power even more.
In many ways, yes. It's like it tilted dramatically, benefiting just a few at the top.
Which leads to this really dangerous perception, doesn't it? That music is now basically free.
Mm-hmm.
Once you pay your, what, 10 bucks a month for a subscription, it feels like this giant all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah, the buffet analogy is perfect.
You just sample stuff, hit skip if it doesn't grab you in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
There's no feeling of value attached to each individual song. I mean, I do it too.
We all do, probably. And that all-you-can-eat thing, it absolutely fosters a disposable listening culture. And think about the sheer volume hitting these platforms. Like, 100,000 tracks uploaded every single day.
100,000 a day. That's insane.
It is. And that pressure of quantity over quality combined with the tiny payouts, it's putting immense strain on creators. Real mental health issues. They're stuck on this treadmill just trying to feed the algorithm to get noticed, let alone paid fairly.
So it's not just about the money. It's eroding the creative process itself. It really comes back to that core idea, doesn't it? Music isn't free. It never was free. It shouldn't be free.
Exactly.
It takes incredible work, talent, passion. It deserves value. So
yeah.
How do we fix this mess?
That's the million-dollar question, or maybe the billion-dollar question for the industry. And that feeling that music needs to be valued again, it's driving the search for solutions. Our sources lay out this really interesting 10-point plan for a major overhaul. Trying to reclaim that value, empower artists. What's the first big idea?
Okay, so pillar one starts right where it hurts, fair pay.
Yeah.
And shifting how we listen, making it more purposeful. The big proposal here is what they call a minimum wage for artists. Simple idea. One stream equals 1 cent.
One stream, 1 cent. It's direct.
Yeah. And it directly challenges the current system where the big labels negotiate these deals that squeeze everyone else out, no matter how good their music is.
And a really crucial part of that 1 cent idea is equality. Mm. The rate per stream has to be the same for everybody. Doesn't matter if you're Taylor Swift or some new artist with, you know, 12 streams. The rate is the rate.
No bulk discounts for labels.
No bulk discounts, no preferential treatment. Your earnings depend on your audience actually listening, not who your distributor is.
Okay, that's clear. And that ties into this other concept, pay-per-use streaming, or PPU. How would that actually work?
Right. So PPU, instead of your flat monthly fee for unlimited plays, imagine paying a small amount for each song you actually listen to, a bit like how you pay for electricity you use or your mobile data.
So moving away from the buffet.
Exactly. Moving away from the buffet towards more purposeful consumption. Each listen has a direct, visible cost and value.
And when you look at the current value, well, the 2025 payout numbers are pretty stark. To make just $1 on Spotify with its huge audience, you need almost 300 streams. Mm-hmm. 294 streams for $1.
Yep. And compare that to Apple Music, it's better, 148 streams for a dollar, but their audience is much smaller, under 100 million.
So you reach fewer people, but they pay more per listen. It's a trade-off.
It's a constant trade-off. Look at the others. Amazon Music, 235 streams for a dollar, 80 million listeners. YouTube Music is actually not bad, 136 streams per dollar, 125 million subscribers. That's the separate music app, mind you.
Right, not regular YouTube.
Then Deezer, bigger internationally, 178 streams per dollar, but only 9 million users. And then there's Tidal, tiny audience, like 5 million subs, but the best payout, only 114 streams to make a dollar.
So the highest payout comes from the platform with the fewest listeners.
Yeah.
That really lays bare the dilemma for artists, doesn't it? Reach versus revenue.
Absolutely. You have to constantly weigh getting your music heard widely against actually earning enough to survive.
Okay, so if you're an artist seeing those numbers, the appeal of PPU becomes clear. You get a direct link between plays and pay. Maybe fairer distribution for niche artists who have dedicated fans, but not massive numbers.
Right, more transparency too. And it would likely cut down on all that passive streaming, you know, music just playing in the background unnoticed, which dilutes payouts for everyone.
Yeah, it encourages purposeful listening, shifting the focus back to quality maybe, less pressure to just feed the algorithm constantly.
Those are definitely the potential upsides. But, you know, we have to be realistic about the downsides too. PCU could mean really volatile income for artists. Your earnings could swing wildly month to month.
Mm-hmm. Predictability goes out the window.
Yeah. And could it accidentally make it harder for new artists to get discovered if people are hesitant to spend a few cents on something unfamiliar?
Oh, interesting point. It could reinforce the existing hierarchy in a different way.
Potentially. And obviously for people who listen to a ton of music, their cost could go way up compared to a flat subscription. It's definitely not a simple fix.
It's a balancing act, for sure. Okay, so fair pay is pillar one. What about pillar two? Our sources talk about leveling the playing field more broadly, beyond just payments, starting with removing label preference.
Exactly. This is about demanding true equality within the platforms themselves.
Hmm.
So no more major labels getting better playlist spots just because they're majors, no higher payouts negotiated behind closed doors, no exclusive access deals.
Everything based on merit.
Ideally, yes. Equal algorithmic treatment for all music. And much more transparency in those deals between the platforms, the DSPs, and the labels. It should be about the music, not the connections.
That would be a radical shift. And pillar two also talks about incentivizing artist growth through education. Not handouts, but rewards.
Yeah, rewarding artists who actively invest in their craft. We're talking practical support. Things like tax credits, grants for courses, maybe discounts on software or gear if you complete verified training. Subsidized studio time, even wellness programs for artists.
I like that. Fostering a culture of improvement, not just output.
Yeah, the idea is to build a healthier ecosystem where getting better actually leads to tangible benefits, which should give us all better music in the long run.
Okay, and sticking with incentives, Pillar 2 has this really interesting idea about tax incentives for supporting music, treating it like oxygen, like you said earlier. Essential, but taken for granted. How would that work?
Well, the thinking is, if music is vital, we should incentivize supporting it, just like we incentivize other industries, oil, tech, whatever. So imagine tax breaks for businesses that sponsor local artists or venues.
Okay.
Subsidies or rent relief for venues, especially those that host grassroots up-and-coming talent. And maybe even small annual tax credits for listeners like you and me if we buy music directly or merch or concert tickets.
So making it economically smart to support music at all levels.
Precisely. Recognizing it as a public good worth investing in.
That could really boost local scenes. And then there's this idea of a global music equity fund. What's the vision there?
This would be a central, transparent fund, financed by tiny levies, like maybe 1% from festival or big ticket sales, maybe 0.5% from the streaming platforms themselves. And the money gets redistributed specifically to grassroots music initiatives and music education.
And importantly, not just in the big cities.
Exactly. The plan stresses reaching beyond London, LA, New York, getting resources into those small towns that are often, as one source put it, graveyards of talent, simply because they lack the infrastructure and funding. It's about spreading the opportunity.
Okay, moving on to pillar three. This one's about rebuilding infrastructure, both physical and digital, and protecting artists. First up, live music.
It's in rough shape, isn't it?
It's in crisis territory. Venues are closing constantly. Artists, especially smaller ones, literally can't afford to tour anymore. And touring is often how they make money and connect with fans.
So what's the fix?
Well, the plan calls for the big players, the huge promoters like Live Nation, to actually reinvest a portion of their profits back into the grassroots level.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe festivals and ticketing companies should contribute, say, 1% of their gross revenue directly to struggling small venues.
Like a mandatory reinvestment?
Sort of. Plus, things like travel subsidies or performance grants, tax benefits for touring artists, making it financially viable again for artists to hit the road. Makes sense. And digitally, our sources talk about needing strict regulation and enforcement on DSPs.
Mm-hmm.
What are the big issues there? Bots, fake streams.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. The digital space is kind of the Wild West right now. You've got bots racking up fake streams. You've got playlists you can just buy your way onto, totally bypassing organic discovery.
Undermining the whole system.
Completely. So the plan demands real financial penalties for platforms that allow this stuff to run rampant, and maybe setting up an independent music standards authority to police it. But there's a really critical, maybe controversial part of this. Removing public streaming counts from platforms entirely.
Well, get rid of the public counters, like on Spotify, where you see how many plays a song has.
Exactly. Take them off public view.
Why? What's the thinking there?
Two main reasons, according to the sources. First, the mental anguish and anxiety it causes artists. Constantly comparing numbers, feeling inadequate.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
And second, those public numbers are a huge driver of fraud. People are incentivized to buy fake streams to look successful. Removing the public count takes away that incentive. It pushes towards a more authentic environment.
That's a fascinating idea. Get rid of the vanity metrics.
Yeah.
And connecting to that, building infrastructure for everybody, not just the lucky few and big hubs. Our sources had that example of what? A council spending millions on a gold bridge.
Yeah, $40 million on a purely decorative gold bridge, when that kind of money could fund artist residencies, provide gear, training.
Right. Practical tools for artists in smaller towns to improve their production, their promotion, their business strategy without having to move to a major city.
It's about investing in culture locally, letting talent bloom where it's planted, countering that brain drain.
And the last piece of this pillar, fair contracts and artist ownership. We know artists often need labels for the business side, but the deals can be terrible.
Yeah, they often get ripped off, frankly. So the proposals here are pretty concrete. Things like demanding plain language summaries for all contracts. No more 100 pages of dense legalese.
Good luck with that one.
Well, it's the goal. Also, mandatory certified legal reviews for any artist signing their first major deal to make sure they actually understand what they're giving away. And crucially, an end to labels owning masters, publishing, licensing rights in perpetuity. Forever. That needs to stop.
And you had that anecdote.
Ugh.
The artist who got.
Yeah, the source mentioned an artist getting a royalty check for $250. $250 for nearly 100,000 streams.
100,000 streams. $250. Wow.
Yeah, that math definitely isn't mathing. It just perfectly illustrates how broken the current contract situation can be.
Okay, that $250 for 100,000 streams, that really hits home. It underlines why these big systemic changes are so needed. But, you know, those big changes take time, years probably. What can independent artists do, like, right now, today, to build a career? Our sources also looked at that, right?
Yeah.
Diversifying income.
Absolutely vital. The big takeaway is, don't rely on just one platform, especially not just streaming income. You need multiple streams, literally. For example, sell your music directly. Use platforms like Bandcamp or even just your own website. Offer exclusive tracks, maybe pay what you want options. You keep way more of the money.
Cuts out the middleman. Makes sense.
What else? Really lean into YouTube. It's not just about music videos. Enable ad revenue, sure, but also use Content ID to catch unofficial uses. And create other content tutorials, behind-the-scenes stuff, gear talk. Engage people beyond just the songs.
Okay, practical steps. What about sync licensing? Getting music into TV, films, ads, or merch. Are those actually realistic for someone starting out?
They absolutely can be. For sync, platforms like Songtrader make it easier to submit tracks. Remember to have instrumental versions ready. And merch doesn't have to be complicated. Start small. Digital products too, like sample packs if you're a producer, or even just PDF lyric books. Get creative.
And teaching. Sharing skills.
Yeah, definitely. If you have expertise, share it. Teach lessons online. Use Patreon for exclusive tutorials, do live stream Q&As. Crowdfunding is huge too. Kickstarter, Patreon again, letting fans directly fund your next project, maybe offering VIP perks. Builds a real connection.
And good old-fashioned live shows.
Still crucial. Local gigs, house concerts, even ticketed live streams. Find ways to perform and connect and monetize it directly through tickets or donations. It's all about building direct relationships and revenue streams you control.
Right. Taking back control while the bigger industry hopefully sorts itself out. Okay, so we've laid out the problems, we've explored this big 10-point plan for change, and looked at immediate strategies for artists. Let's try and tie it together. Because there's that fundamental tension, isn't there? You want maximum reach, easy access for listeners.
Which tends to drive down per-play value.
Exactly. Versus maximizing the value of each play, which might mean less friction-free access, maybe more intentional listening.
It's the core dilemma. How do you balance discovery with fair compensation? And this is where that idea of a tiered hybrid model comes in, drawing from our sources. It tries to find that balance.
Okay, so how would this hybrid model look? Break it down for us.
Right, imagine it in layers. First, you keep something familiar. A base subscription tier. Low monthly fee, maybe ad supported, maybe standard quality audio, unlimited streaming. This keeps that easy discovery, the casual listening part alive, keeps music accessible.
Okay, so the buffet still exists, but maybe it's the basic buffet.
Kind of, yeah. But then on top of that, you add a premium PPU layer. This is where you get the high fidelity audio, maybe exclusive tracks, early releases, live recordings, stuff super fans really want. And this content is available pay-per-use, maybe per track, maybe per album. And crucially, artists could potentially set their own rates here within certain platform bands.
Ah, so artists get to directly monetize their best stuff, their most dedicated fans.
Exactly. And then a third layer, fan direct bundles. Artists could sell like prepaid packs of plays for their music or a fan pass, giving discounted access to their whole catalog for a year.
Building loyalty and getting some upfront predictable income.
Yep. Fostering that direct artist to fan relationship we talked about. And the final crucial piece to make this all work, a transparent royalty dashboard for everyone. Artists and fans should be able to see exactly what a stream is worth, how much is being generated, where the money is going. In real time.
Total transparency. Builds trust, reinforces the value.
It's essential for accountability and just for educating everyone about the economics of music.
Okay, I can see how that model tries to bring it all together. Multiple income streams for artists, the base subscription pool, plus higher value PPU and bundles. Choice for listeners too. Casual listeners stick with the base tier, save money. Superfans can invest more, get more exclusive stuff.
Right. And the platforms. They keep their massive user base with the base tier, but they add new, potentially high-margin revenue streams with the premium layers. It's a way to evolve things, hopefully, without blowing the whole system up.
It sounds like a potentially smarter path forward.
Ultimately, none of this is about charity, is it? It's about artists reclaiming their power and society recognizing that music is skilled work that deserves fair pay. Big systemic changes, like getting to that one stream, 1 cent goal, that's gonna take a long, coordinated push from everyone. Artists, fans, industry players, maybe even governments, years of effort.
Absolutely. Which brings us back to you listening right now. If music really is the soundtrack to your life, if it's that oxygen we talked about, what responsibility do we all have to make sure the people creating it can actually make a living? Something to think about. That's our deep dive for today. Thanks for joining us.